hid ourselves. We don't want to identify ourselves as Christians. It is a privilege to confess the name of the Lord, even though they are our relatives, even though they are our bosses in the office, even though they are our superiors. It is our responsibility to stand for the Lord. Few years ago, a young lady who got married received a letter from her husband, who is in London, a lady in Kerala, southern part of India. Her husband is, for her post-graduation, is a medical doctor, had been to London for the post-graduate study. Those days, there are no cell phones. There are no even landlines. Only thing is letter and telegram. This is the only thing. Telegram comes means that is a different issue. Only letters. She received a letter. See, an young lady received a letter from her husband. Imagine what a joy it is. See, normally those days, we used to look for the postman. Any letter for us, even though he's passing our house. Don't we have any letters? So that is the only mode of communication. So she received a letter from her husband. What happy, what a joyful thing. She even opens with joy and started reading. As she reads, the tears are flowing down. And the parents, they asked, what happened? What happened? Why are you crying? Then she said, he has written that he became a Christian. There is no turning back. So he has given his testimony to his wife. I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I knew that he is the truth. He is the living God. There is no turning back. This is my decision. This made this young wife to cry and weep. And all the relatives gathered together. What happened? Oh, then the uncles and others, relatives have come. And they said, this fellow, for the sake of study, had been to London. There he might have loved a Christian lady. That's why he became a Christian. We are Nambudris. Many of you be knowing, Nambudris are the first class Brahmins in Kerala. The first class Brahmins. So we are Nambudris. How this man has become a Christian? He became an untouchable. He had joined with the untouchables. How it will be? Then they decided to bring him back. There were no airplanes like this. They had to travel by ship. They brought him back. And they tried their level best to turn his faith from the Lord. But they could not make anything. His form for the Lord. He says, he is my Savior, he is my Lord. There is no turning back. Then they had taken to a psychiatrist who was his classmate. He is a doctor. He finished his MBBS in India and had been to the further studies to London. They were taken to his classmate, psychiatrist. He said to his friend, I am not mad. They are mad. Give them shock. But the doctor, on the request of their relatives, he gave him two shocks. No change in him. Then he said once again to the doctor, you give them shock, they are mad. I am not mad. Once I was mad, but now I am a wise person. Because Jesus opened my eyes of understanding. Then he was sent out of their house. How he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When he's doing his post-graduation in the neurosurgery in London, normally in the hospitals, there will be parties, a monthly party. All the doctors and the nurses gather together for a party. You know, in the Western countries, the party, even in Eastern countries, India also same way. Nowadays, what a party means? Drinking hot drinks, alcohol and all those things. So, all are having their drinks. One nurse, she has taken only the lime juice. And this doctor, being a Brahmin, he also taken the lime juice. Being a Brahmin, an Indian, he asked this British lady, the nurse, why you are not taking the alcohol, that brandy or other drinks? Why you have taken only lime juice? She said, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to defile my body. I was purchased. God purchased me with his precious blood. My body belongs to Jesus. She testified to this doctor. Then she asked this doctor, then why don't you take that alcohol? Why you are taking lime juice? Then he said, I'm a neurosurgeon. If my handshake or my finger shake during the surgery, if I cut something, he may become paralyzed or sometimes his life may end. So I must be very careful. That's why I'm not taking this drinks, only lime juice. But at the words of this nurse, he was attracted to the Lord Jesus. A testimony. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then he had a desire to know of Jesus Christ. Then he gave him a Gideonite New Testament. He read the word of God. Jesus spoken to him. Lord opened his eyes. Then he made a decision for the Lord to stand for him. So dearly beloved, through the testimony of young nurse, young lady, a Orthodox Brahmin, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't kept her faith secret. Many of us, at the junctures, we skip the truth. We avoid Jesus and say some other things. Why don't you take? Oh, my health will not agree. Or something we say and avoid Jesus Christ. Avoid the confession of Jesus Christ. We feel shy. She's a nurse, he's a doctor. Yet, she said very boldly, Jesus changed my life. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Many of us, we lost many opportunities to present the gospel. So, this our thought and our talk or the message for us is, for you and me, we must be bold to bear the banner of Christ. See, if you read the word of God, our Lord Jesus himself, before Pilate, he witnessed very, very boldly. See, book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. One of you read and help me as fast as you can. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. See, in Telugu Bible it is like this. Punti Pilatuna the Dhairyamaga Oppukoni Sakshyamichina Kristi Yesu Edata. In English it is good witness. In Telugu it is a bold witness. Our Lord Jesus, he boldly witnessed to Pontius Pilate of the truth. Read in John's Gospel chapter 18. Let us come to John's Gospel chapter 18. Verse 37 and 38, please.
Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth?
See, Jesus said, I come to bear the witness of the truth. Jesus saved us, bought us, and kept his blessed Holy Spirit in us to testify for the truth. Whenever an opportunity comes, if you keep quiet, that is a lie. Many think, no, I didn't open my mouth. I didn't say whether yes or no. If unless you say yes, that itself shows that you are a liar. You are not accepting what is truth. Jesus, he boldly confessed before Pontius Pilate. He is our example. You have to walk in his footsteps. And Paul himself, before the emperors, before the governors, before Felix and Festus, before Agrippa, and even before the Caesar, he boldly confessed the name of Christ. He never felt shame. He stood for the Lord. Now, Jesus needs such bold witnesses for Christ. In your workplace, how many of you witness for Christ? How many of you confess that you are a Christian? It is our responsibility to testify, to witness of the saving power of Jesus Christ. The Lord has kept you in that place to be his witness, not for our livelihood. Don't think that you are working in a particular company for the livelihood. God has set you to be a witness, to be a lamp set on the lampstand, to show forth the light of the glory of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is your duty and responsibility to testify for Jesus. Many a time, we lose opportunities and afterwards, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Okay, Lord forgives, that is true. But you are losing the privileges. You are losing the rewards. The Lord said, he that confesseth me before the people, the same will I confess before my Father. Whoever feels ashamed of me, I will not confess his name before the Father. So in each and every place, in your work, neighborhood, in your workplace, and among your kith and kin and friends, open your mouth. Say, Lord Jesus, give me grace to confess that I am your child. I am saved by your grace. Give me grace. If you read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Lord has given us the spirit of boldness. Yes, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, please.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yes. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of the power and of love and of sound mind. Swastha buddhi gala atma. So he has given us the spirit. He is spirit. So ask the Lord, Lord, give me boldness. Many of us very, very shy people. If we don't open our mouth many a time, but if we pray, he gives the utterance. He gives an opportunity. All our conversation must end with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Thereby, we are holding the banner of love, banner of Christ in our deeds, even in our words. Moses, he was an expert in the knowledge and the wisdom of Egypt and he was an expert both in deeds and in words. Many a time we are experts in words but not in deeds. So the love of Christ be manifested in us and through us. What made you to do these things? If someone questions, the love of Christ constraineth me. Why are you suffering? Even though you are not yet wrong, why are you accepting? Why you have become a scapegoat? What do you say? This is the life that I should live for Christ's sake, because Christ loved me and he gave himself for me. Through our lips and through our life, we have to witness for the Lord. Many a time we use our lips, but our life speaks a different picture. It shows a different picture. Through both our life and lips should be synchronized, should go together. What we are, what our words are, that we should be. So, bearing the banner of Christ, a boldness, any place, anywhere. Our forefathers, they confessed then before anybody, before everybody, that Jesus is our Savior. This gives more and more opportunities to confess the name of Christ. When I was in Hyderabad as a trainee in telecom, as a telecom engineer, one day the general manager, those days general manager means only one person in the entire state in the communication department. We were in the training, three batches, somewhere around 100 students in the training, selected for the job and the training for 1 year. One day he brought one, Avadhani, who is a Hindu religious man, he brought him to teach Bhagavad Gita to all the students. Then our general manager means he's like chief minister. In this department, he's like general manager. He questioned, is there anyone among you who has read Bhagavad Gita? No one is there. Then he asked, is there anyone who has read Quran? No one is there. Then he asked, is there anyone who read the Bible? Then I stood up. What is your name? I told him, which place, which district, which taluk? Those days there are no mandals, only taluks in 1979. So, I didn't lose anything. That is on 24th December. He and the Avadhani, he stayed for dinner with us. He was in the first batch. At the table, he remembered me to wish me happy Christmas. Then immediately he called me, the hostel warden. Where is the Christian? He called him. I want to wish him. Immediately the warden ran to me. GM is calling you. Then I had been to his table. He said, happy Christmas to you. When will you have your mass? Then I told, tomorrow in Hebron Church at Golconda Crossroad, we are having our worship service. See what a great privilege it is, confessing the name of the Lord. In all his visits during my 1 year stay or 10 months of our theoretical training, whenever he comes, he looks at me. He asks me a question. So, confessing the name of the Lord, don't feel shy. In that way, we can bring glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. You might have heard, some of you, Frederick the Great, like Alexander the Great. There are many Alexanders, but there is only one Alexander the Great. In the same way, I think some of this area is called Frederick. So, Frederick the Great, he was a king of Germany. In those days, it's called Prussia. He was a king. He was a great warrior, a strategic person. He won many wars for Prussia or Germany. But he is morally immoral. One day, he made a royal banquet to all his top generals and to the noble persons of his kingdom. Among his generals, he returned back to the king, "I am denying your invitation because I have to take part in the communion of my king." Is there any guts for you? Is there any boldness for you and me to write like that? A king, a monarch? It's written, "I cannot come to your banquet. I have to take part in the communion in my local church." What a great standing for the Lord. Suppose President Donald Trump sends you an invitation for the next Sunday to the White House for a lunch. How many of you will be here? How many refuse that for the sake of communion to take part in the Lord's table? It's not an ordinary thing. So, he denied the invitation. After some months, again he made another banquet, royal banquet. Again he invited all the top generals and also his noblemen. During the dinner, he and some of his colleagues, they are mocking this general. And also they are speaking vulgarly of the Lord Jesus Christ. This general stood up. His name was Von Jeter. He stood up with all respect, with all due respect to the king. He said, "My king, my lord, there is another king for me than you. There is a king for me. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am his representative. I am his man. I cannot tolerate your mocking of my Lord's name. I cannot sit here." All other expected that king will become rage. That is the condition of the monarchs. But to the surprise of all his guests, the king apologized. "Forgive me. Pardon me. Hereafterwards, I will never speak of low, vulgarly of the sacred things." You understand? Standing for Christ, it brings glory to the name of the Lord. Stand up. Don't hide your faith. Be a bold witness for the name of the Lord. So, see our banner. It is, I am not asking you to take this flag and go to your office. Your banner of love is visible through your words and your deeds. See, the people says body language. There are some experts. When a young man goes to see a bride, the bride's side experts will be called to study this boy. His body language itself speaks of what he is. So, your body language will say that there is the banner of love over you, the banner of Christ, that he belongs to Christ. So, wherever we go, we have to take up this banner. See, this flag contains three colors. In our banner, there are three words. We all knew this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love. Last verse, please. One of you can read. So, our banner contains three things. Love, hope, and faith. Love is supreme. It remains forever. Even eternity also, we enjoy the love of God. In eternity also, we enjoy the love of God. In Michigan, here in America, there is a place called Fohola. two letters of these three things, faith, F-A-H-O, hope, L-O, Fohola. It is a Christian campsite. I'd been there on few occasions with Brother J.P. Rao for the prayer session and for the youth camp. So like that, our banner is Fohola, faith, hope, and love. Everywhere, anywhere, we have to speak of our love for the Lord and the love for the perishing souls. And also we have to represent, we have to show forth our faith. Even in difficult situations, even though they are going to give you the pink slip, you need not to fear. It is the Lord who gave me the job. It is the Lord who take away this job. But he is the one who gives me better than this. Not only in this physical aspect, we always say that is a eternal hope. That is what you and I are looking for. And then the faith, the things that we are not able to see, but we see through faith. Here we see this man is holding this flag. In order to hold a flag, he had to have much grip. This is called the grip of holiness. Unless we keep ourselves holy for the Lord, you cannot hold the flag. It will fall down because, see, when you carry the flag, there is wind. For the wind, it will move this side and that side. Unless your grip is firm, it will fall. This grip is called, in Christians' experience, it is holiness. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Without holiness, we cannot exercise other Christian qualities. Without holiness, our prayers will not be answered. So, it is the will of the Lord that every one of us to live a life of holiness. Book of 1 Thessalonians, Book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, 4 and 5, please. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. You should abstain from sexual immorality. Each of us must know how to possess the vessel, our vessel, in honor and in sanctification. It is the will of the Lord that you and I should know it. Prabhu, Lord, if it is your will, keep me holy, otherwise keep me dirty. There is no such prayers. The revealed will of God for each and every believer is that we must abstain from sexual immorality and also keep our vessel, the vessel of honor, the vessel of holiness. That is our own life. See, the Lord has chosen you to be his vessels. Once we were the vessels of the wrath of God, vessels of wrath, ready to be broken, ready to be cast into eternal hellfire, vessels of wrath. In Romans we read that, but God's mercy, God's grace, God's love has manifested towards you and me. He has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. And he has made you and me a vessel unto him, a vessel of honor, a vessel that is sanctified, a vessel that is ready for the master's use. He wants to use you. He cannot use a vessel of filthiness. Dear sisters, do you use a vessel of unclean to cook some delicious biryani or a delicious curry? None of you. You throw it out. Or you clean it first, then only you use it. See, we humans, we don't want to use an unclean vessel to prepare
A nice dish.
A delicious dish. How God used a man or a Christian who got defiled, who got defiled. There are many things in this world who defiles us. The very look will defile us. This is our windows. See, you are all working in computers. You learn in computers day and night. You are working on the computers. You know your input devices. I need not to tell you. If I tell you that it is like this, if I say something to you, oh, brother, we are in USA. See, your input device, your keyboard, your mouse, or something else, there are input devices. So for us, it is our eyes. This is video, and this is ear. This input device, this is video. This both audio and visual things will go and registered or written. Or in other words, is written in the hard disk, not only in the RAM. Permanently it will be recorded in our hard disk. When I was working in these things, I started with working the hard disk of 20 megabyte. You wonder, in ISRO in 1980s, PC has come for us with 64 kilobytes of RAM and 20 megabyte of hard disk. But nowadays is terabytes, you know, after some may become. But our hard disk is more favorable than any many billions of terabytes. It will be registered, it will be recorded. But with one command you can erase what are the contents in your hard disk, but you cannot erase here. So when you get defiled through your eyes and ears, immediately you have to ask the forgiveness of the Lord. Lord, cleanse me from this filthiness. If you delay, slowly it will enter into your heart. If delays for days, then it will come out with actions, that is output. It's output. What is output? Your outputs are printer and your screen. You monitor it and you take a printout, hard copy. So in the same way, our outputs are mouth. Your mouth speaks of what the things are in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Immediately you can say, no, no, brother, I am sorry. Because that screen, once you switch off, the screen will disappear. Like mouth also, you can say sorry. But the handwritten thing, this is the hard copy. You cannot deny it. This is the brother, see here. This is your handwriting. You cannot deny it. So, that's why you must always be careful with your input. A good programmer always takes care of the input. Whenever a garbage input comes, he rejects it. Unless he takes care of the input rightly, everything is garbage output only. I need not to tell you programming, but in our spiritual life, we must be careful. And we teach to our young children, Sunday school children, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There is a heavenly Father looking at you. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. It is not for the young people, it is for us now. It is required throughout the week what we are viewing. What is the input? What you are hearing? This will defile us. So that's why, as believers, we always must be careful in our input with our input devices. If the input is correct, output will always be correct. So, it is the will of the Lord that you and I should be holy. Keep our vessels in honor, in honor. This is the will of God for each and everyone. A society No way, India is not no way inferior to American culture. Now the dating has come to India also. Before the marriage, going together, walking together, moving together, sitting together, it has come to India also. But a Christian, these are not advisable things. These are not advisable things. One man of God has said like this: you should not have a close acquaintance with opposite sex. Opposite sex. You should not have a close acquaintance. It will lead you step by step into sin. Always we must be very, very careful in our attitude. That's why he is exhorting again the next verse, chapter, verse 6, please. 4, 6. Yes. We must be very careful. Verse 7. All together, please. Verse 7. పరిశుద్ధులకడికే దేవుడు మనను పిలిచిన గాని అపవిత్రులుగా ఉండటకు పిలవలేదు. లార్డ్ కాల్డ్ అస్ అన్ టు హోలీనెస్, నాట్ ఫర్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద వర్డ్ యూస్ దేర్. వర్స్ 7 ప్లీజ్. అన్క్లీన్నెస్, లార్డ్ కెన్ ఓన్లీ యూజ్ ఎ క్లీన్ వెసల్. సో ద ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ ఈస్ ద గ్రిప్ ఆఫ్ హోలీనెస్. ద సెకండ్ థింగ్, what is that? I could not see. What is the word? Walk of honesty. Honesty. We must be honest. The sober mind, we read many a time in our Bible. In Telugu it is swastha buddhi. What do you mean by swastha buddhi? What do you mean by sobriety? In limits with all things, that is called swastha buddhi or sobriety. In limit with all things, that is for ourselves. In righteousness, that is honesty and integrity, that is for fellow men. So, honesty. A Christian should be honest in his work, in his earning. In all things, we should be honest. There was a young man, some hundreds of years ago, maybe 200 years ago, was appointed as a postman in a village in Illinois, the state of Illinois, a small city or small village, those days, Salem. He was appointed as a postmaster. But as the years going on, there was no business. The post office was closed. The accountant has to come and settle the matters, settle the accounts. The department has taken for 2 years. After 2 years, the accountant has come to audit and close the accounts. The auditor has gone to everything and he has said that there should be $17.53. Then this young man was a postmaster. He has gone to a box. In the olden days, if you see in the post office, even in America also, big boxes will be there. He opened the box and he has brought something that was with a cloth, it was covered, rolled in a cover, a cloth cover. And he put that amount before him. And he counted, that is exactly $17.53. Even though it was delayed for 2 years, he didn't touch it. That is the honesty. At a later stage, he became the president of America. He is Abraham Lincoln. I'm not telling a story. If you are not honest in the little things, how he is going to give you the greater things? You must be honest in simple things. If you are honest in the simple things, the Lord give you greater things. No one become prime minister or chief minister all of a sudden. So the honesty plays an important role in a Christian life. Be honest. If something which is not of you in your house, take it out. Go and see in your house. You verify each and everything. Is it of mine? Have I brought it? Or have someone has given to me? Or have I stolen somewhere? You check up everything in your house. If anything is there, you throw into the trash. That was what they did in the book of Acts. Anything that was gained unlawfully, it brings curse in our family. So be honest in simple things or in big things. So unless you have the work of honesty, you cannot hold the flag of love, the banner of love. And thirdly, we see that, what is that? Hard work. See, many of us are thieves in our workplace. We hide our strength. What the scripture says for a Christian? See, in book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And verse 27 and 28, please.
Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need.
Yes. If you see in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10, one of you can read out. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. Some other person can take out Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 13. Read it quickly. 9:10.
Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might.
Do it with your might. Shakti lopamu lekunda cheyamu. Yes.
Or knowledge, or wisdom,
in
the grain where you are going.
Yes, Deuteronomy 5:13. 6 days you have to labor. You have to do hard work. Some of us works hardly. So a Christian should be a hard-working man, hard-working sister. In your household activity, or in the office, or in the church, we have to work hard. Our God is a God of working. We say that he worked for 6 days and he has taken the seventh day as rest. But now, you see, he is still working on me. We all sing that English song. He is still working on me. Now he is working in us. He is working in us to make us like himself. He is working. He didn't give up. Even though we are disobedient, yet he is working. Now more than the creation, the work of creation, now the Lord is the work of perfection in our hearts. He is working. So you and I have to work hard for the glory of the Lord. People will say, yes, he's a Christian. He works honestly. He works, always works faithful. He works hard. Like that, people have to give testimony of us. So we have to work hard for what? Not only meeting our needs, but also we have to meet the needs of others who are in need. That is what we read in 28. Ephesians 4:28. One of you, please. Once again. Yes. Yes. There are many people who are in need. Some of our doctors, believing doctors, medical doctors in India, they work in their medical colleges in the daytime, and they go to the corporate hospitals in the evening hours. They work hard, not for their increasing their wealth. All that they get in the private clinics or hospitals, they will send the entire amount to the ministry in the North India. You know that? Regular office hours, they work for their livelihood, for their family. In the evening hours, they work and send it to the needful people. So, we have to work hard. Not to become rich, but to be a help to others. A doctor cannot go to the northern part of India and work there and preach the gospel, but he can help the ministry in this way. There are three things. Go. Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Many of us are not able to go to the farthest parts of the earth. But we can groan. We can pray. Those who are in the field, mission field, we have to pray for the groaning in the spirit. That is possible for everyone. Third thing, we can give. We can send something for the ministry of the word, for the servants. There are many who didn't have even three meals. Sometimes they are having only one meal per day. Yet they are faithful to the Lord and they are serving the Lord. When you knew such a person who is faithful in the work of the Lord, who is working in the vineyard of the Lord, it is our responsibility to give. So go is the number one. Groaning is number two. Better than third one. And third one is giving. If you are able to do all these three things, is very good. But we have to groan for the ministry and we have to give so that those who are in need may be met through your giving. So, this is hard work. And fourthly, what is that? Heart of humility. So, this is most important. The Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 11 verse 29, please, one of you can read out and help me. Matthew's Gospel chapter 11. I am lowly in heart. I am humble. See, he humbled himself. We have to learn from him. Nenu sattvikudanu deena manasu galavadanu. Learn of me. Naa yedda nerchukonadi. Humility, the heart of humility. Many a time we puffed up, the pride will come. Oh, India, dirty country. We cannot go back there. I was born there, brought up there. And there are many perishing people. Oh, somehow God in his goodness had a purpose for you in bringing here. It is his plan. It is not your plan. It is his plan to bring you here. But we are having some responsibility to the place we are born and brought up. You have to remember them. You have to remember the work that is going on there. You have to remember them in their suffering. Be a partaker of their suffering. In that way, we have to humble ourselves. Never allow the spirit of pride, that is of the devil. Always humble. Humbling ourselves, even in the work of the Lord. Even in the work of the Lord, everywhere we have to be humble. That is the humility, that is the quality of a Christian. Our Jesus himself, he humbled himself even to the be a servant and even to lay his life to death, even to the death on the cross. He humbled himself as a servant. Some of you have come from India, most of you. See, in the office there are hierarchy. Officer, then upper division clerk, then lower division clerk, then attender, and then peon. Here in America, I don't know what they call peon, helper maybe. See, in government organizations, after few years, we are having promotions. Suppose this attender, he may get lower division clerk. Afterwards, upper division clerk, like that. Suppose one day, the lower division clerk, he has gone on leave. The officer called this UDC, upper division clerk, and asks you, will you please sit today at the LDC table? There are many important files. Will you work that? Will you work on that? If the officer says so, immediately he calls his union and he protests. Oh, this officer has degraded me. He asked me to do the lower division clerk duty, being an upper division clerk. This man, till last year, he was in the same seat. He don't want to step down even one cadre, even for one day. Imagine the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we have to learn the humility. Any jobs, humble jobs in the house of the Lord. See, when I was an young man, no preaching, I was asked to stand in the chapel stand. That is the beginning of our ministry. Chapel stand, not like us keeping there. There are hundreds, and he has to take his chapels and put it in the stand, give you a token. And also, see, many of us nowadays, you see, they don't want to lift their own chapels and put into the stand. They will simply come and leave it there. They don't want to lift their own chapels and put into the stand. But this boy who stands at the chapel stand, he has to take the shoes and keep it. From that step, the Lord blesses you to a greater responsibilities. Cleaning and washing the restrooms and arranging the hall for the ministry. So, in this way, we have to start our work in the house of the Lord. Don't look for this place immediately. Don't come to this place immediately. That is, don't aspire this position. When the Lord gives you, in His time, you come over here and do the ministry. We will read this last verse, book of 1 Peter chapter 5. We are closing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5.
Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Yes, we have to clothe ourselves with humility. In Telugu, alankarinchukonadi, decorate yourself. Beautify yourself with the cloth of humility. That is the beauty. For a Christian, the beauty is humility. Younger ones, humble yourself before the elders. Submit yourselves to the elders. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So, this is the heart of humility. If you see the men of God, Brother Bhakti Singh, Dr. Billy Graham, and D.L. Moody, and Spurgeon, and there are many great servants, if you go into their personal life, you will see their humility. Humility. How humble they are. How humble they are to wash the feet. It's not a tradition. Once, a blind man who is a musician with Brother Bhakti Singh team, they have gone to a village. It was rainy, not like America, roads, cars. After getting down from the train, you have to walk muddy roads full of mud. After reaching the home, there will be a big tub of water. You have to take the mug and wash your feet. He's a blind man. You don't know where it is. Where is the water? Where is the tub? Where is the mug? Brother Bhak Singh himself has taken water and washed his feet. He didn't ask anybody, you go and wash his feet. Brother Bhak Singh says, anybody is willing to do. He didn't give an opportunity to others. He has taken that privilege to go and wash the feet of a blind man. That is a humility. What a great humility it is. We also have to learn the humility. So, dear ones, this is the part of our study. Be bold to bear the banner of Christ. How we receive this boldness? Only one verse from Book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 13. Peter and John, they are bold before the Sanhedrin, before the religious leaders. The testimony given by these religious leaders, in verse 13 we read it. 4:13, please.
But seeing that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus.
See, they have seen the boldness of Peter and John. Where did they receive this boldness? They were with the Lord. They recognized that they were with Jesus. So, dear ones, you and I can get boldness when we live with the Lord Jesus, when we are with the Jesus. Jesus has chosen them to be with him. Even Jesus has chosen you and me to be with him. To be with him. Unless you and I spend time with the Lord, we cannot become bold for the Lord. There is no outward tool available to make us bold. It is the presence of the Lord. As you sit at the feet of the Lord, as you read his word, you receive boldness. And also in the same chapter, in verse 31, all of us read please. 4:31. If you're reading the scriptures, giving me an indication, brother, stop it. So, I'm stopping it. When they pray together, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and they have preached the word of God with boldness. So, the boldness we receive through church prayer, when we gather as a church for prayer meeting, we receive boldness. There is no shortcut methods. Personal time with the Lord, our quiet time, our private time with the Lord. Now in America, every child wants his private time. They have private rooms, private, everything is private. They don't want parents to involve. But our culture is not like that. We were not brought up in that matter. Don't go for a private. As a family members, always share your burdens with your parents, young people. Whatever the difficulty in your school, whatever the problem you are facing, you go to your parents. Parents also must be ready to receive. Encourage them. Pray for them. Pray with them. So, when we pray with the Lord, that is having a private time with the Lord, we'll be bold. Then, as a church, when we come together for prayer, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous filling. It is not one-time filling. Be filled is a present continuous. As we come for prayer, pray with earnestness, oneness, we'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we can be bold enough to preach the gospel. So the calling for you and me, even in America or in India or anywhere, the calling is that we must be bold enough to bear the banner of Christ. Make a decision. In your neighborhood, make known yourself that you are a Christian family. How? Through hospitality. And in your office, make known yourself as a Christian. If some of your colleague is in sick, go and visit him. Share your love. If someone lost his job, go to that house, not with empty hands. See, this losing a job in America is very common, not in India. Once we get a job, simply going monthly getting. But it's not here like that. When someone loses a job, it is our responsibility to help them as a church, as co-believers. One brother has lost his job and family visited him as taking a jam bottle. They visited them, given that bottle, prayed for them and returned. When they are opening the bottle, they found that there is a cover beneath the bottle. When it was opened, there were some dollars. See how they are expressing their love. They don't want to give when they are there, but indirectly, they are much concerned for them. So that is love. Love our brethren. Even next step, doing good to those who are outside the church also. May the Lord help us to be bold for His name's sake as long as we are upon this earth. Amen.